Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me, as is our tradition, the title of our sermon, I Told You So, based on the last two verses of today's gospel reading from St. Luke. Jesus said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" Please turn to your handouts been given to you and follow the sermon outline as we consider our theme, I Told You So. Those four words, I told you so, are probably the easiest words for any of us to say to somebody else, but the hardest words for us to hear as somebody says them to us. So when we men are in the car driving, we never get lost, do we? We never get lost. And we don't get lost because we don't want to hear our wife say to us, "I told you so. You should have asked directions 4 hours ago." But we're not lost. We're just befuddled for a few hundred miles. And when you find yourself ill or sick to your stomach in the washroom, the last thing you want to hear from somebody else was, "I told you so. I told you not to eat that week-old sushi. I told you so." In today's sermon text from Luke chapter 12, Jesus is addressing some people who just love to say to others, "I told you so." They were self-righteous, religious people that believed they knew everything about everything, including the weather. They saw the west clouds and predicted rain correctly. They felt the south breeze and correctly predicted heat. They were quite proud of themselves. But then Jesus said to them these words, "You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you do not know how to interpret this present time?" Translation, you think you know so much, and you enjoy telling others, "I told you so," but why isn't you religious leaders, you can't see what is truly important, that I am the Savior who will die for the sins of the world, that this world is coming to an end, judgment day is on its way, and you are not ready. Where are your "I told you so"s now? As we said already in the service, sadly, there are many people in our day and age who believe that God is just watching and waiting to pounce on them as soon as they mess up and to say, "I told you so." Now look at our first parents, Adam and Eve. Look how they acted after the first sin in the Garden of Eden. What did they do? Scripture tells us they tried to hide themselves from Almighty God. They didn't want to face Almighty God's anger. They didn't want to hear what they expected was coming. "I told you so." But as we know from the account in Genesis chapter 3, God did not come to them with just an "I told you so." God came to them and said, "Where are you?" He sought to restore them and bring them back to himself. Now, this situation replays itself over and over again in Scripture. Look at your outline for some examples. In the book of Judges, we read accounts of God's people who would not listen to the word of God sent by the judges God gave them. Judges 2:17 says they would not listen to their judges, but worshipped other gods and turned away from the obedience to the Lord's commands. They were destroying themselves, but they didn't want to hear God's "I told you so's," even though he wanted to heal their destruction and to give them a new start. In the New Testament, our Lord Jesus sums up his frustration with stubborn people who only see God as a judge who can't wait to tell them, "I told you so." Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 23, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who have been sent to it. How often I would have gathered you as your children, as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you wouldn't come to me. All Scripture bears witness to the human heart that misunderstands God's desire to love them. We talked about this in our adult catechism class this morning. Too many people look at God's commandments as a checklist of things I have to do to make God happy with me. How many people today do not understand God's love for them, but sees God only as a vengeful God just waiting for them to sin so he can punish them and gleefully say, "I told you so." Listen to these words from the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. These words show us the very heart of God. Now, get me clear. God is a God of both law and gospel. But his gospel, his desire is always to trump his law. Listen to what he says to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 33, verse 11. "As I live, declares the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his ways and live. O house of Israel, turn from your evil ways, for why will you die?" On judgment day, it is not God's desire to say to anyone, "I told you what would happen if you break my commandments. I told you what would happen if you would not repent. I told you that I'm just eager to send you to hell." On the contrary, God would prefer to look at all gathered humanity. He would prefer to see each one of us as his forgiven children, to throw open the doors of heaven. And in order that God would not have to punish us for what our sins deserved, in order that God would not have to say eternally, "I told you so," what did God do? You know the text. Say it with me. The 16th verse of St. John's third chapter. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So that Almighty God would never have to say to you, "I told you so," Jesus sacrificed his life for you. He went to the cross bearing your sins, my sins, the sins of the world. On that cross, Christine, Jesus died for you. From his grave, surely, Jesus rose for you. The victory he won over sin and death and devil, Ed, he won for you. To get back to the words of today's sermon text from Luke 12. If people can figure out what storm clouds will bring rain and which will bring heat, shouldn't they be able to figure out this basic truth? God loves them. But of course, the truth is, not everybody believes that God loves them. This is because the unholy Trinity, sin and Satan and our evil world, worked very hard at making people question the Lord and his intentions toward them. Is God a God of justice? Shall hell unfortunately come? It shall. But does God want the world to turn to him in faith? Did God so love the world? Yes. But sadly, there are people in our world who continue this thought that all God really is a vengeful, "I told you so" God because of us church people. Too often we church people are judgmental to others who aren't church members. This judgmental attitude can be communicated with a bunch of "I told you so's." "I am good, you are bad. I am great, you are evil. God loves me, he possibly not love you. How can you ever measure up?" This people can drive people away from the loving arms of God. In Jesus' day, these judgmental people were called Pharisees. Oh, they were good members of the church of the day, the Old Testament church. Now, the Pharisees are long gone. You can't look up on the commuter through Google or through the Yellow Pages the office of the local Pharisee. You won't find them anymore. But that doesn't mean the old "I told you so" mentality has disappeared even from the church. Now, it's time to quit pointing fingers at others. Remember, one finger pointed at others brings three back at ourselves. Look into your own heart. Look into your own sinful flesh. Let me ask you, when things go wrong in your life, what is an easy thought to have? When sickness comes, a job is lost, the children are in trouble, finances are weak, the medical tests come back with a bad report, what do you think? What do you say? Who do you blame? Do you hold God responsible? Are you among the many people who believe when things go well, we pat ourselves on the head and watch it when you do that too much? When things go well, we say, all these good things are mine because I earned it and deserved it. But when bad things happen, are you among those who shake our fists at God and say, why did you do this to me, God? Isn't that curious in our sinful flesh? When things go well, we deserve it. When things go bad, it's God's fault. Too many people today are convinced that God is just somehow waiting to bring them grief, to cause them problems, to let them know they're not good enough, and to declare to them, I told you so, I told you I was going to get you. If you're not listening to the sermon, now it's time to listen. If this is how you feel, I have two words for you. Stop it. God has no desire with gleeful joy to tell you I told you so. Not on judgment day, not now. He has shown you in the life and death and resurrection of our dear Lord Jesus Christ that he wants to be your Savior and not your judge. Now, but here's biblical truth. For those who to the bitter end stubbornly refuse his love, judgment day will come. And with judgment day, eternal consequences. But this is not God's desire. We have so easily quoted that John 3:16, but we forget the next verse after it. Listen to John 3:16 and especially to verse 17. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And here comes 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God's desire is not to condemn. His chief desire is not to say, I told you so, but to say, I love you so. Look at your Savior upon the cross. Look there. There is God not saying, I told you so. That's him saying, I love you so. How can I explain this better? Maybe this story will help. A story from a pastor I knew in my days teaching at the seminary in Edmonton. You have to picture this pastor, a good pastor, a loving pastor, but a pastor who just carried too much weight. He tells this story. This man asked his young son one day, son, how much do you love me? Do you love me $1 million? With a twinkle in his eye, showing he was playing a game, how much do you love me? And the boy said, $1 million. And daddy said, well, these days due to inflation, $1 million isn't worth that much anymore. Is $1 million all that you love me? And this little boy said, daddy, I love you $1 billion gazillion. Daddy then grinned and asked a question about money from other countries. How about Italian lira? Swiss francs? German marks, Chinese yen, British pounds. How many pounds do you love me? And the little boy, with a response faster than the daddy could expect, came over and patted his daddy's big tummy and said, daddy, I think you've already got all the pounds. How much does God love you? He loves you more than all the dollars, the lira, the francs, the marks, the yens, the pounds in the world. Look into that Bethlehem manger, won't you? See the infant Jesus. Stand before Calvary's cross and see your crucified Lord. Be there at the Easter tomb with the women. God loves you all of that. And in every page of Holy Scripture, he declares to you with love and joy, Not, I've told you so, but I love you so. My friends, believe it in the name of Jesus. And I'll